الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم there was a topic that we were supposed to talk about today. I'll talk about that next week, inshallah. Which was just this whole issue of we're continuing with that theme of grudges and grudge being a the holding of a grudge being a spiritual disease. The dropping of a grudge being an opportunity for Jannah, and some wisdom regarding how to avoid grudges, which we've been talking about over the past few weeks, and inshallah we'll continue to talk about next week. I was just on the way here, and another thought came into my mind, and I just wanted to share it. One of the things that we look for as we progress along the path is signs that we are progressing. And that's something that's very important, because without those signs, we lose the confidence that's necessary when we travel along a path. I've given this example before, but just to reiterate. No, it's not working. Just give me both, and then let's put that one here, and I'll pick up. So I've given this example before.
It makes it worse.
Okay, it's fine. I've given this example before, but it's worth reiterating. When a person is making a journey, and particularly a long journey, it's very important as they make that journey that they see the signs of progress. Because those signs of progress, they give the person encouragement that the journey is reaching its end, and they also give the person confidence that they're on the right path and that they're moving and that they're doing something that's allowing them to reach their goal. So, for example, a person wants to travel to Los Angeles, and they want to drive to Los Angeles, so they'll start driving, and maybe for the initial phase of the journey, they don't really see any signs. They know they're headed in the right direction. I'm headed, for example, in this case, I'm headed west, and so I know that I'm heading in the right direction. Maybe I pass one state and then the next state and the next state, and I know that these are in the direction of Los Angeles. Eventually, as a person's progressing, they see that there is a sign that says, Los Angeles, even if it says 500 miles away, if they came from far, they get excited. And then, as they move forward, they get more excited every time the number decreases. So Los Angeles 400, Los Angeles 300, Los Angeles 100, Los Angeles 20, and people get more excited and they become more confident that they are achieving their goal. The same is true on the path of Suluk, as we've mentioned many times before. We have signs that allow us to recognize that we are achieving our goal, that we are headed in the right direction. And those are important. They're important for the same two reasons. Number one, when a person sees these signs, they become more confident in the journey. And number two, they become excited that they're reaching some sort of milestone of progress in the direction in which they're traveling. We've talked in the past about many of these signs. But there's one sign that sometimes we don't talk about, in fact, most people don't talk about, which is very important to recognize. And that is that one of the key signs is that a person begins to leave themselves and approaches the world of people around them. The person begins to leave themselves and begins to enter into the world of the universe around them. Now, what do I mean by that? Most people, and most of us, are relatively self-centered. Relatively self-centered means that we care about ourselves, we care about the difficulties that we undergo, we care about those that are immediately surrounding us, but it's hard for us to go beyond that sphere. So, for example, if I'm hungry, it's a big deal. But I don't recognize that there's a whole planet of hungry people. If I'm sick, it's a big deal. But I don't recognize that there's a whole planet of sick people. If I'm undergoing a difficulty, everybody has to know. But I don't recognize that there are so many people in the world who are undergoing difficulty who no one, who for whom there is no voice. So this is a general self-centered nature that we as human beings, we have. Now, what happens is I'm pretty concerned about myself, and then I tend to get concerned about the few people around me that affect myself. You know, so for example, I worry about my children. Yes, because they're my children, but more, even more so because it bothers me. You know, for example, I might worry if I get sick. I worry if my children get sick. I sometimes might think about what happens if my children's children get sick. But I'm not thinking like five generations down the line and worrying about what's going to happen with those kids, even though they may be eventually from my lineage, because I'm not going to feel it. I'm going to be in my grave. I'm not even going to know what's going on at that time. So this is human nature. We're very concerned with ourselves, and we're very unconcerned with the people around us, whether that be immediately around us and particularly in the distance. When a person begins to progress on the path of Deen, then one of the things that begins to arise in that person is that that concern that they had for themselves begins to turn away from themselves and towards others. So for example, you look at the concern that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the people around him. He had such a deep concern for the people around him that regardless of the way he was treated, he always had hope that they would eventually come to Deen. Now, what they did to him, nobody in this room would tolerate. Everyone would think, I can't let anybody do this to me. I have to react. I have to give them, you know, their due. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so patient despite undergoing such severe difficulty, because in the end, it wasn't about him. The fact that they had harmed him or insulted him or mistreated him had nothing to do with it. It was completely erased from the equation. The only thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared for was that those people eventually come on Deen. And if that meant dealing with them patiently until they figured out that they had to come on Deen, Rasulullah ﷺ was ready to do it. So you see that over a period of so many years, eventually the people around him, they came into Deen because his ultimate concern was them rather than him. Now, when he interacted with them, they recognized that. They never felt that Rasulullah ﷺ was trying to bring them into Deen so that he could benefit. They knew that this person is trying to bring us into Deen, but he's not going to benefit. He only cares about our benefit. And that's a very unique characteristic to have, because honestly, even the people nowadays who try to spread Deen, half of it is the spreading of Deen, the other half of it is so that they can pat themselves on the back and feel comfortable that at least people believe what I believe. Right? They get this comfort that I've convinced somebody of what I'm thinking to be correct. So therefore, that shows that, you know, how much better I am than them. Rasulullah ﷺ was absolutely concerned only about others, only for their sake. That desire to bring others to this same goodness that that he was aware of, that desire became a passion that allowed Deen to spread. And it didn't, it wasn't only present in Rasulullah, it was present in the companions. And it was present in the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in and all of the subsequent generations that came. That is why Islam spread like wildfire. You know, they talk about this term nowadays. It's a very interesting term. They say this thing went viral. Right? So there's some video. Somebody makes some video. They're doing nothing. They're just spinning on their head. They make a video. Okay. It's like a dog jumping through a hoop. And then they put that video out and that video goes viral. So what does that mean? Why do they say that it goes viral? It means that it just spreads. It spreads like what? It spreads like a virus. Virus means like one person sneezes, 20 people get it. 20 people sneeze, 400 people get it. Right? That's what they mean by viral. So nowadays, people have this term when they share something and it spreads rapidly throughout a community or throughout a place. Deen has been perpetually viral. From generation to generation, Deen has been viral. So that the people who love Deen, one of the key signs that they love Deen is that they begin to desire the Deen for others as much as they desire it for themselves. And that's a sign. That is a sign that a person has actually achieved Deen, that they want to, that they don't have any other, they want to share Deen and they have no other hidden agenda except that they want that good for others as well. That's a sign that a person has progressed. Now, you look at the companions. This is something that's missing nowadays. You know, look at the companions. They were very little concerned about themselves and much more concerned about spreading this deen to others. For example, everybody knows the famous circumstance that Sahaba used to sit in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and be absolutely silent. How silent? So silent and so motionless that birds would come and sit right by them or on them because everything was so silent and they were so motionless. Now, why were they doing that? Because they were just taking benefit without having to burden Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew that they had everything that they needed. They had Tawheed, they had Shahada, they had the basics of their deen, they knew what they needed to do. They were just silent, hoping that they would be able to take some benefit. But they weren't always silent. You have to remember this. It's not like they left Rasulullah ﷺ and they stayed silent. The moment they left Rasulullah ﷺ, they were out there and they were spreading deen and making it viral. They were talking about deen. They were exemplifying deen. They were showing deen. They were constantly trying to spread deen to any person that they could come in touch with. That's all they did. They were always sharing deen. And that allowed the community of one to become the community of two, the two to become four, the four to become eight, the eight to become 16, until eventually the community grew. They were always talking about deen. They were always sharing deen. They were always trying to call others to deen. They were always reciting the ayat of deen. But that was how it was almost like you would say that, how could these people be so extreme? How could they be with Rasulullah ﷺ so silent? But the same person who is introverted in front of Rasulullah ﷺ is the most extroverted individual when they get away from him and they're beginning to talk to others about deen. That was a sign of their progress. Now it's the other way around. What do we do? We come in the company of our scholars and we eat their brain alive. We want to ask every question. We want to dump every problem. They're our therapist. They're our marriage counselor. Every single thing gets dumped on them. And then when we go away, we're pigeons. We don't say anything. We don't want to talk about deen. We don't want to say anything about deen. We don't want to share the deen. In fact, maybe it's even better if there's less deen. But the formula for success is reverse. The formula for success is reverse. The benefit we take from our mashayikh and from our ulama and from our institutions actually comes through silence. It doesn't come through questions. We haven't figured this one out yet. It comes through silence. When we come and don't expect to take anything from the place, we just, you know, we don't expect to remove the resources from the place. That's when we take the benefit. if every time, look, if we surround our scholars, you know, there's five muftis in Chicago, or let's say there's 20 muftis in Chicago, and we're surrounding them and suffocating them and constantly bombarding them with our problems and our issues, how is the deen going to spread? Let me give you a better example, at least one that's relevant to me. If the whole hospital is treating itself, how will they treat any patient beyond that? If everybody comes to work, all the doctors and nurses come to work and say, I have this and I have that and I have this problem and I have that problem, let's sit around and let's talk about this and talk about that, the hospital won't function. The sign of the people in the hospital, what makes the hospital such a unique place, is those people take their personal issues and put them in the back. That's what allows them to be servants of humanity. The doctors don't think that the doctors don't have problems. The doctors have just as many problems as anybody else on the planet. But what makes the doctor unique is that they put that problem on the side, and for that 10 hours every day, they serve the outside community, putting their problems away. What makes the nurses unique is they do the exact same thing. What makes the people who are, the techs and the other people who are running the hospital behind the scenes is they all do the same thing. Each person in the medical field, they basically make this silent commitment to put their problems aside and to focus on the problems of others. And when they all do that, that creates a unique institution called a hospital. And what does that hospital do? That hospital allows everyone to benefit. And the more well-oiled it is, the more well-oiled the machine is, the more the people have that attitude, the more they are people who are serious, the more people come from all over the world to benefit. You have some hospitals where people come from all over the world to benefit. Somebody gets sick in another country, they say, I have to go to this hospital, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, whatever it might be. They come from so far away. Why? They don't come to hear the problems of others. They come because people are there to hear their problems. People are there to treat them. People have no other motive. That's why they all gather together at that institute. And that's what makes that place unique. We are people of deen. We have the exact same, we have the exact same goals. Our goal is to embed tawheed within ourselves and to spread that tawheed to every single person walking on the planet. Every single person walking on the planet must know that Allah is one. Every single person walking on the planet needs to know the greatness of deen. Every single person walking on the planet needs to know the miracle of the Quran, needs the adab, needs the akhlaq that Islam has to offer. And that should be our mission. We come into the environments that we can benefit, not because we want to benefit ourselves and keep it all tied up just for ourselves. It's so that we want to take that benefit and then share that benefit. And when we share that benefit, we know that that's how we benefit more. The example, just as an example, and I've given this before, but this just applies in this circumstance as well. The example is that there's a central Nidus, which is deen. All right? It's a company. Just think of it as a company for a minute. And that deen, it spreads nur. It spreads guidance. It spreads light. It spreads tawheed. It spreads the words of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah. Okay? It's a shop. Now, what happens? People come to that shop and they want to represent that shop. They decide that, for example, give you an example. There's a restaurant called McDonald's. It's not the best example, but there's a restaurant called McDonald's, okay? Somebody goes there and eats there. They taste the food and they say, oh, I really like this. I want to also have this in my city. I want to serve this to people in my city. I'll be able to spread this message to another place and I'll be able to make money at the same time. So what do? They contact McDonald's and they say, I want to open a franchise and I want to open it in Morris, Illinois, okay? Someplace where there's no McDonald's, for example. So they open it in Morris, Illinois, and they spread that message to Morris, Illinois, and then maybe they open up another branch and another branch and another branch. Now, they don't sit at the headquarters all the time and just eat. Their goal, once that passion has been ignited in them, their goal is to make that product viral. They go and they talk to everybody about it. They convince people. They are convinced, and they convince others to carry this message forward. And what happens? That's how corporate America works. Now you see McDonald's is everywhere. Domino's is everywhere. KFC is everywhere. Started with one guy cooking chicken in a corner somewhere. So that's the way dunya works. That's the way that the corporate America works. Capitalism works. But deen actually is much more powerful than that. The beauty of deen is that a person comes in contact with deen and their eyes are open to the beauty of what they've been given. Now they want to expand that. And they want to expand that within themselves. So how do they do it? The way that they do it is by spreading it. The more they spread, the more they gain. Look, in the end, the final accounting book for every Muslim is the Day of Judgment. There's only so much that I can do on the Day of Judgment. You know, that will come to my account on the Day of Judgment. If I'm one individual, I can offer 5 prayers a day. I can give some sadaqah. I can learn something of knowledge. I can treat whoever, the few people I interact with, well. But if I go and I convince another 5 people to practice deen, then I gain the reward of everything that they did. I gain the prayers that they prayed. I gain the adab that they exhibited. I gain the mannerisms with which they act. I gain the charity that they bestow on others. So this is the sign of a person who is passionate about deen. When they have something, they're not worried about themselves. They're worried about how they can spread it far and wide. Far and wide. The person who has hifz in their heart, they want to spread it far and wide. The person who has the opportunity to sit with the mashayikh and learn adab, they want to spread it far and wide. The person who happens to have the ability to come to the masjid and experience its serenity, they want to spread it far and wide. That becomes their speech. That becomes the thing that wakes them up in the morning and puts them to bed at night. Now, we have the opposite. We found something and we want to insulate it within ourselves. And we certainly don't want to inconvenience ourselves by going and sharing it with others. That's not the sign of progress. That's the sign of the beginner. That is the sign of the beginner. Now, you'll see, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit and people used to come, the Bedouins would come and ask questions all the time. You know, the very, very superficially introduced individuals would come. They would ask questions. Sahaba would listen. They would take benefit, but they wouldn't dare ask any question. So rare were their questions that their questions are actually related in the Quran. So many of them, right? Yes, alunaka. They talk about these ayat that they start with yes, alunaka, that the Sahaba ask you about this. The Sahaba ask you about this. The Sahaba ask you about this. Their questioning was so rare and so sincere that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the interaction of their questioning and also the answer. You know, I mean, you want to talk about a topic, just talk about the topic. Why do you have to say, they ask you, you say. They ask you, you say. Because it was dear to Allah and it was an example for us that there are this group of people that are passionate about spreading deen and that are far advanced, who we look up to, but their circumstance was such that they barely asked any questions. And when they spoke about the greatness of Allah, about the greatness of deen, and they spread it like, they made it viral throughout the community. That's where viral begins from. You know, they say that this video is viral. That's not viral. That's just some person saying something. Viral, what does viral mean? Viral means, the true viral means, that thing has been contagious for centuries. For centuries. You look at the influenza virus, right? That virus has been rampant throughout humanity for centuries. That's viral, not some dog jumping through a hoop and everybody watches it for a week and then nobody knows where it went after that. Then they're watching the next video, a parrot jumps through a hoop, okay? That's not viral. That comes and dies. That comes and dies. That comes and dies. That does not go beyond one node. Viral is something that perpetuates itself for centuries. Dean is viral. Hudge is viral. Hudge is really viral. You want an example of something viral? Hudge is something viral. One guy caught the cold of Hudge. You know, one prophet caught the cold of Hudge, made a call, and everybody is still suffering from the virus, if you want to use the term suffering. This is that's viral. This deen is viral. We caught it from someplace, and that's coming all the way from centuries before. And we have that responsibility to spread it. And honestly, you don't have to do much. Literally, you just have to sneeze, and deen would spread itself. What are we doing? We're covering ourselves. We don't even have to do much. But what happens is, we take all the energy we have, and we want to sit in front of our scholars, and we completely consume them. We completely consume them. There's not even like a bit of meat left on their bones. We want them to solve all our problems. We want to talk for hours and talk about the same problems over and over again. When actually the problems get solved when you just go out and do the work. If we would just turn away from our own problems and stop being fixated on ourselves and instead go and try to solve the problems of others, these problems would disappear naturally. Half the problems are because we have too much free time and we're just focused on ourselves. So many of these issues would disappear if we took others' problems on our shoulders and served them instead. They say, like in the deen, you know, there's so much emphasis on the neighbor. There's so much emphasis on the neighbor that it was as if the neighbor would have become an inheritor. Obviously, the neighbor is not an inheritor, but such emphasis was placed on the neighbor because it was as if the neighbor would become an inheritor. Why? Because the neighbor is the person that surrounds us. That's the first line of people that we should be spreading deen towards. That's the first line of people that should be feeling the effects of our deen. Not one neighbor, not two neighbors, 40 this way, 40 this way, 40 this way. Everyone around us should know about deen. And it's the type of thing that you don't even have to say. That nobody says, I'm going to spread virus everywhere. Watch out, I'm going to spread virus. The person just comes into the room and everybody gets the virus. They shake your hand, you get the virus. They talk in front of you, you get the virus. They sneeze, you get the virus. They leave a piece of cloth somewhere, you get the virus. That's how contagious deen is. Deen should be such that there should be such a burning passion for deen within us, and we should be so desirous to spread the deen to others that we just walk into a place and it just automatically begins to spread everywhere. And they say this. They say this. You've heard this before. What do they say about the pious? You know, about the awliya. They say that the awliya just walk through a city, and when they walk through the city, the effects of their piety are felt. What does that mean? That means that they're so fixated on the people around them, on benefiting the people around them, and they have such piety within them that the tawajju, the benefit, the barakah of that individual spreads far and wide just as they pass through a place. This is the history from which we come. Now, this generation has taken it upon themselves to weigh down the whole boat, weigh down the whole ship by becoming so fixated on ourselves. We're more concerned about what we eat than how we feed others. We're more concerned about how we live than how others should be living. We're more concerned about what we make rather than what others don't have. When we become like that, then that virus does not spread. And what we do, we shut down the machine. We have this lineage of barakah. We don't have to do anything but just be ourselves. And instead, what we do is we preclude the spread of deen by becoming so fixated on ourselves. The sign of progress for an individual is that as they begin to progress in their deen, the passion of Allah ignites in their heart, and they become less fixated on themselves. They become less centered on themselves. They leave that orbit of themselves. You know, people are all revolving around themselves. It's me, 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 me. They leave that orbit of themselves. They move to a much broader orbit, which is the orbit of all of the people around them. That is deen. That is the sign of deen. Look at the history of our people, by the way. Look at the history, not us. Look at the history of all of us. You know, look at the history from Adam alayhi salam all the way until now. What was a common thread? Sacrificing for others, feeding the poor, taking care of the needy, guiding the one who is lost on the way, housing the one who's traveling from a distance. What are these? These are all ways by which we serve the people around us. When Rasulullah first got the wahi, he was very afraid that he was possessed. He was very afraid that there was some evil effect on him. He didn't know exactly what, he didn't fully know what had just occurred. And then what happened? Then he came home. And then he spoke to his wife. And his wife said what? No, you'll never be wasted. He was afraid that he would be wasted. He was afraid that maybe he was going, you know, he was experiencing something that was even beyond his mind. And what did she say? She said, you'll never be wasted. And then she gave a reason. She said, why was the reason? Because you serve the people around you. You care about others. You can read the description. The description is, all the description is a sacrifice from the turning away from oneself towards others. Feeding others. Connecting broken bonds, guiding others, sacrificing for others. And what was deen? Deen was all that. The people came in and Rasulullah was giving, nothing for them, and taking nothing, always giving. So Sahaba became like that. They were afraid to take, but they were always giving. And the benefit is that when a person does that, Allah fulfills them, which is really the issue, which is really the thing that we miss. What fulfills us in the end is not us. It's that Allah puts barakah in the interactions that we have. People think that, well, you don't understand. I really need to talk to this person because I really need to just get psychologically, I need to get this all out. So I need to give, this is my therapy. And if I don't have this, then I'm not going to be able to survive. It's the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite. The benefit that comes is not because there's a person who has so much wisdom in the room that they can guide you to what you need to be guided to. The benefit actually comes because two people care about deen and want to approach Allah. And then Allah puts the benefit in it. So what that means is that the benefit that we gain from silence far supersedes the benefit that we gain from speaking. The benefit that we gain from trying to minimize ourselves far supersedes the benefit that we gain from trying to maximize our attention. Meaning maximize the attention that's drawn to us. We put down our own problems and we bring forth the problems of others. That's when a person benefits, and that's when Allah fulfills them. In a way that no person on the planet can fulfill anyone. Allah fulfills them. So we have to put our problems aside. We have to recognize that all our problems will be rectified. Look, it's very simple. The equations here are very simple. I have a problem. Okay, Allah knows it. I don't need to say it. So now that saves me one headache. I don't have to talk. Allah knows everything. Right? And if I have a problem, Allah will compensate me for it. Either He'll give me something in this life or He'll give me something special in the hereafter. And we know that on the Day of Judgment, the people who didn't get something in this life for their problems will be so happy that it was all reserved for the Day of Judgment. So what is there to do? There's nothing to do. Allah knows my problems. Allah hears my problems. Allah will acknowledge my problems. And Allah will rectify and remediate my problems, whether it be in this life or the next. So I don't have to worry about my problems. There's nothing to say. I don't need to say anything. Sure, there's a rare circumstance where something needs to be spoken about. That's a different story. But constantly going back into our problems and constantly wanting to talk about our problems and letting our problems become the actual thing that blocks us from progressing, that is the problem. That's the actual problem. When a person progresses, their problems become secondary. And the problems of others become primary. And their goal begins to becomes that I want to resolve the problems of others. And in the process, our problems get resolved. And in the process, we get a huge reward in this life and the next. If someone's hungry, then it's my problem to make sure they eat. Now look, there's a famous incident which we're all aware of. There's a famous incident that we're all aware of, that there was a Sahaba on the battlefield who was dying of thirst. Somebody came and gave them water. And as they were about to give water, they heard another person calling for water. So they didn't take the water, they pointed to that individual, right? And then they're about to be given water, the second person's about to be given water, and they hear another person calling for water. They didn't take the water, they point to the next individual. So the person with the water goes and sees that the third individual has passed away, comes back and sees that the second individual has passed away, come back and sees that the first individual has passed away. So what is the circumstance there? The circumstance is that even in the clutches of death, even in the clutches of death from thirst, Sahaba preferred others over themselves. That was so embedded in them that even at the circumstance of near death, they were still preferring that another person get water, even though they're dying of thirst themselves. We're not even in that circumstance. We're all living it up. We have all the blessings in the world. We have more than the kings that came before us. We have more food choices than the kings that came before us. We have more clothing choices than the kings that came before us. We have more comfort in our homes than the kings that came before us. We have food from all over the world. We have the ability to communicate all over the world. We have the ability to study all over the world. What blessing haven't we been given? And yet we're still caught up in ourselves. We have a responsibility upon ourselves to turn away from ourselves and to turn towards others. And part of that is the service of others, and another part of that is the spreading of deen. That is a sign that an individual has progressed. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be among those who fall in love with deen. May He ignite our hearts towards with a passion of deen, and may He make it such that we are able to spread the deen to all those who are around us. وَآخِرَ تَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Just one quick announcement. Isha Salah is at 9 o'clock. Adhan is at 8:45. So we're 20 seconds, 30 seconds away from the Adhan. So again, Adhan will be called in a few seconds. And Isha Salah Jama'ah is at 9 o'clock, which is in 15 minutes, inshallah. وَآخِرَ تَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.